You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Minnesota Twins with Brandon Warn, the creator of Access Twins. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home during these still very interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Today, Locked On Fantasy Baseball, Locked On MLB Prospects with Aram Lighton, and hey, why not, for the sake of today's show, Locked On Twins with Nash Walker. If you have a question to send for the Sunday request, do it to me on my Twitter feed, which is at Sully Baseball. I'm at Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to follow the show, we are at Locked On MLB Pods on both Twitter and Instagram. So I'm very, very happy to bring in my guest, who is currently in the state of Minnesota, near the city of Minneapolis. It's Brandon Warn, creator of Access Twins. And we're here in this early March day to talk about, well, lest you forget, the defending American League Central champions. How you doing, Brandon?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain. How about you?
Baseball's right around the corner, and I think everyone could use the wonderful respite that is a baseball season. So I'm very, very happy that we're going to be starting the season pretty soon. So,
but yeah, I've been trying to catch some spring training games myself, and there's one going right now, and we're getting them on here. Kind of spotty getting to watch them on TV, but even a little bit of baseball is better than none.
Yeah. Do you want to know how bad it got for me the other day? You know, because, I mean, those of you listening know that there's been, your pal Sully has been going through with my father dying and all this stuff that's happened recently, that I just needed baseball. And I'm always playing the radio broadcast of some old game. I was listening to the 1937 World Series the other day. And then the other day, as I was doing work in my house, someone had screen captured playing the 1991 video game Hardball 2. Mm. And I wound up getting hooked on watching someone play a 1991 video game. And I found myself going, come on, man, pick it up, throw it a second. I realized, Sullivan, that's a video game. It's not even a good video game. Turn it off, go outside, and take a walk. And I did. And along the way, I listened to Game 5 of the 1972 American League Championship Series. So I just need baseball right now. So we both need that right now.
Well, I was watching an old Sega game on YouTube, MLBPA Baseball from 1993. So not too far off.
Not far off.
Your game of choice. But yeah, man, sometimes when the baseball bug bites you, you gotta cure it however possible.
I love, by the way, I go down rabbit holes of old broadcasts and old TV broadcasts. And like, if I'm driving, I'm about to take a long drive pretty soon, I listen to an old radio broadcast. And when it's a game that a baseball historian or history nut like myself knows the outcome, and you're hearing the announcer having it unfold without them knowing how it ends, it's really wonderful. It's like you see how we'll all remember the Gibson home run, or we'll all remember the Chris Chambliss home run in 76, the Mazeroski home run in 6, all these classic moments in baseball history. But you don't remember the story that builds up to it. And hearing that, and also there's a couple of points where the announcer like is start talking about, well, this team doesn't really have a shot. You go like, they're gonna win. You don't understand. And you feel like a time traveler. But it's great. In fact, I wound up watching a game which involved the Twins. I wound up watching the final game of not the 91 World Series, which I still argue is the greatest World Series I ever saw live, but the 87, when it was the Twins Cardinals. And what an absolutely bananas and horribly officiated game Game 7 of the 1987 World Series was.
Yeah, wasn't it Don Denkinger or something that was...
Well, Denkinger blew the World Series for the Cardinals in 85. Yeah, I don't remember. But 2 years later, they got screwed again, and no one remembers it because it wasn't that sort of, they were three outs away from winning the World Series, and an obvious call was blown. But there were three plays at the plate, and two of them were called incorrect, and a critical rally with the Cardinals winning in game seven of the World Series in the fifth inning, and a critical call was blown at first base that instant replay showed was the Twins player was out, and he was called safe, and that was the game tying rally in game seven of the World Series. Jeez. I mean, you think about how history could have been, all of baseball history could have been so different, but it's fascinating to watch that. But I don't know how old you are, but I'm going to say something which may be kind of sacrilegious. I miss the Metrodome.
I had season tickets to the Metrodome four seasons before they shut it down. And then I had season tickets for a year at Target Field before I started doing media stuff and didn't need tickets. So yeah, I miss the Metrodome in a lot of ways. Obviously it's more a fondness of your first baseball experience, your first baseball love. And so it's not perfect. You're not going to remember it the same way you're going to remember the sights and smells and sunlight at Target Field, which is a first-class venue that I get to go to multiple times a year. But you think about the dingy walkways and the catwalks and the ceiling and all that, the roof, all that stuff. I mean, it holds a very special place in my heart, even if it was one of, if not the worst, MLB venues going when it was taken down.
And I totally get everything you're saying there. And my father and I used to go on baseball stadium trips, and for whatever reason, we never made it to the Metrodome. We saw a bunch of stadiums that don't exist anymore, like Milwaukee County, Tiger Stadium, the mistake by the lake in Cleveland, a lot of the cookie cutter parks that we went to see. But for whatever reason, we never made it to the Metrodome. The reason I miss it, I've never stepped foot in the place, and I believe where it is, the footprint is now the stadium for the Vikings, right?
Yep. Built right over the top of it.
Which I actually like when they do that. It feels like you're respecting the ground. Like here, sports is still being played. There's something, to me, it feels like it's a good way to honor it. But when I watch those games, and it could be part of my nostalgia, is I do think the 1991 World Series was the greatest World Series I ever saw. And I had no dog in that fight at all, which is maybe one of the reasons why I found it so exciting. I was a sophomore at college watching that, and I was like trembling. I was so excited watching that. But I like a stadium that when the nanosecond you see it on screen, you know exactly where you are. Like you never saw the hefty bag in right field and it looking like a souffle in the middle of Minneapolis and thought like, is that Shea Stadium? What stadium is that? And
identity, man.
Yeah, the identity, the core, it kind of, it matched the teams that they played in a weird way. And it felt so weird, especially that year when they beat Detroit, and Detroit's playing this old, kind of old time, tough, traditional stadium, and the Twins are playing in this weird Jiffy Pop. It's the same reason I like the dancing Marlins statue in straightaway left field at Marlins Park and the fish behind home plate, because you never say, hey, which stadium is that? Is that the new Yankee Stadium that has the dancing Marlins over? No, I like things that the minute you see it, it looks great. You know, that being said, I think Target Field, at least on TV, looks wonderful and beautiful and everything like that. I was hoping in 2010, their first year, one of the years they made the postseason, and that same year Colorado, I think they were both wild card teams that year, and I was hoping for the World Series to be Minnesota versus Colorado, so you would have two open air stadiums in late October, early November in Denver and Minneapolis, forcing all the people in Fox to be shivering in those stadiums. I was hoping for that.
I would have watched that with great anticipation. That would have been really cool.
Here's the cast of The New Girl shivering.
I love it.
Hey, you know, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices available, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. It's RockAuto.com. Hey, let's talk about Locked On Bets. Betting on Major League Baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.
And let's be honest, they're one of the big payroll teams a lot of the times in the game right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a change of pace from when they let their veterans like Torrey Hunter and Corey Koski and Johan Santana get away via either free agency or trades. And they haven't exactly flipped the script for what you think most sustainable organizations want to do, which is mostly keeping your own guys and signing a free agent every now and then, which is kind of how I see the Cardinals and kind of how I viewed what the Twins' path would be moving forward. The big fork in the road for them was that they fell apart that second year at Target Field and they lost 99 games, and then they lost 90 games for like the next four seasons.
Yeah.
And so it was, okay, your payroll's up, but your team stinks. All right. So the payroll whittles down once guys are, their contracts expire, you trade guys like Justin Morneau and that sort of thing. And so now the ramp back up has been very, very interesting to watch, with bringing in a guy like Josh Donaldson, signing the biggest the biggest free agent contract in franchise history by almost a 2-1 margin. They've completely flipped the script on how this team was managed under Terry Ryan and the previous Metrodome era GM and staff. It's a team that's very forward thinking. They're at the top of pitching analytic rankings and that sort of thing. That they do not at all resemble the Twins of 5 years ago, which is so interesting to see from someone who's a lifelong and who was a fan before I covered the team.
Right. First of all, I mean, we'll just jump right into the 2021 team. I think the American League Central is so interesting. You do have the three teams at the top. Obviously, the White Sox are a very talented team. A lot of good, solid young talent. They made some very good moves in the offseason. But the Twins made one move to – there was a little addition through subtraction by taking Alex Colome from the Chicago bullpen and sticking him into the Minnesota bullpen, I think was a really solid move. The Indians have a ton of pitching, even without Trevor Bauer and even without Corey Kluber. They can pitch with anybody. And you just hope that for their sake, not for your sake as a Twins fan, but you hope for their sake that their bats can run into a few balls and they score three or four runs. They'll probably wind up winning somewhere between 88 and 90 games. The Twins, I think, are one of the most interesting teams going into this upcoming regular season, because not just because they're the nominal defending champs. I say nominal because I feel strange crowning a division champion after 60 games, but they are a team that if their pitching staff works out and someone like Jay Happ would be their number four starter, or maybe their number five.
Yeah.
And the addition of Andrelton Simmons to allow Jorge Polanco to be at second base instead of at shortstop where he was terrible, and to to bring back, and of course the smart move bringing back Nelson Cruz where he can mash with anybody, and hopefully Donaldson is healthy again. This is an intriguing team because what did I just say in just rattling that off right now? They've got a pretty good rotation, good bullpen, and a good lineup. And teams that you could say those three things about tend to win a lot of games.
Yeah, well, and they can catch the ball in the infield now, which, like you said, wasn't the case with Polanco at short. And if you go a year before that, Miguel Sano at third base besides. So they didn't make the most exciting, obvious moves like a Liam Hendricks or trading for a Lance Lynn, but they brought back Cruz. They didn't have to overextend to do that. They brought in Simmons, and not only now are they protected at shortstop for this year, but they're still able to wade back into the shortstop market a year from now when not only will Simmons and Semien be free agents again, but also your Carlos Correas and your Corey Seagers and potentially your Francisco Lindors, Trevor Stories, whoever. Now, with Royce Lewis tearing his ACL, that again is going to bring up the question, who's their long-term shortstop? Is it Lewis? Is Lewis a long-term center fielder, second baseman, third baseman? All of the things that they've done to cultivate this organization has given them the flexibility that if one guy goes down, they can move some pieces around. They can do some different things. A lot of their good MLB-ready prospects are multi-position guys. Again, that fluidity helps them kind of cover up those issues. I don't believe the White Sox have that same benefit. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of Adam Eaton in that outfield. And Adam Eaton did not have a good year last year.
No, he had a
never have another. And if any of their big guys get hurt, suddenly you're getting 500 to 600 plate appearances from Lourdes Garcia or anybody who is their version now of Daniel Palka or Nicky Delmonico. They just are not as deep as the Twins. Now, where they benefit is if a guy like Luis Robert or Eloy Jimenez or even Yoan Moncada take that next step to superstardom, which I think is possible for any one of a handful of guys on that team, that covers up a lot of those issues. But you do get into a spot where you could give 1,000 plate appearances to below average offensive players really fast if you're the White Sox, whereas the best Twins player that doesn't have a position promised to them is Louis Arraez, who is a terrific hitter and can play a little bit all over defensively. It's a deeper offense for the Twins. And I think their prospect depth that is close is better. Obviously Andrew Vaughn is going to be the best hitter of that both team group, but the Twins have Alex Kirilloff, who's close, and Trevor Larnach and a few other guys who I think just are going to be eased in more, where since the White Sox didn't sign a Nelson Cruz, they're going to expect more from some of these kids as well. It's a much more risky proposition than I think a lot of people are giving credit for.
I want to bring up Luis Arraez again, because he was on my notes as something I want to talk about. I think one of the things that's interesting about the Twins going into this year, I thought it's one of these things like trades don't just happen in a vacuum. Signings don't just happen in a vacuum. Putting in someone to fill one position doesn't just help that spot. It helps other places on the team as well. We already talked about how Andrelton Simmons, who is probably not the long-term answer at short, but he's a much better answer than Polanco. All of a sudden you've improved shortstop and second base. But Arraez, I don't follow the team as closely as you do, but he strikes me as someone who could give Donaldson a day off or allow Polanco if he needs to take a day off or two, like being able to do that to keep the team more fresh. They're going to contend. I mean, unless it's a complete catastrophe, the Twins are going to be a contending ball club. And I think that someone like Arraez could be one of those people who you see gets 300, 400 plate appearances during the regular season and gets like two in the postseason, two kind of mercy at bats in a blowout game, because he's helped keep the staff fresh going into October. Do you think that he's basically taking over the role that Marwin Gonzalez had with the team last year? Do you think that this is that's an upgrade offensively and defensively to be able to lean on Arraez rather than Gonzalez?
Maybe not defensively, because Gonzalez had such a good arm in the outfield that we don't suspect Arraez will have. Arraez has played a little bit of left field, but that was more this kid's hitting and we got to get him out there. It wasn't that he had good actions out there or anything like that. But when it comes to playing time, if you consider that Rocco comes from the Tampa Bay managerial tree, those guys know how to get 400 plate appearances from a Ben Zobrist type. Now, those come in all different shapes and sizes. They might be guys who can play short and second. They might be guys who can play left, third, first, and right. They might be guys who can do a little bit of everything. But like you said, they're going to need insurance on Donaldson, who battled with calf injuries the last couple years, or two of the last 3 years. And they're going to want to give Polanco a day here or there. They're going to want to move some guys around, give Sano a day here or there, and Cruz as well. So there's going to be ample opportunity, because if you look at Marwin Gonzalez and where he ranked in terms of games played in the 2 years he was on the Twins, he was definitely up there, because Miguel Sano missed time with a gash in his heel. And the guys just need days. They'll see how versatile Rise is. If he can handle left a little bit too, there's certainly some playing time to be had out there, depending on what they do with Alex Kirilloff. So I think it helps too that they can massage some of the weaknesses that Rise has. He hasn't hit for power against left-handed pitching, and there's times where he's going to make a lot of contact and he's just going to find defenders. It's just kind of, he can get babbipped, for lack of a better way to put it. And so there may be days where you want him out there to hit the ball all over the place and give somebody else a break. And there might be a stretch where he's just not going well and you need to sit him down as well. So the depth will be good. I also too think that Polanco should adapt to second base fairly well. We've seen a handful of guys do a really nice job going from short to second. It's obviously a much easier position to play, assuming the player takes to it and puts in the work. But Brian Dozier did it with the Twins and became a Gold Glove winning second baseman. And I'm not saying Polanco is going to become a Gold Glove winner or anything, but with Donaldson and Simmons on the left side, if Polanco can be just decent and Sano can catch everything thrown his way, that infield defense becomes markedly better without that much changing overnight.
One other name I want to just bring up is Byron Buxton, who got off to, I mean, again, when you look at splits and things like that, we're talking about the equivalent of a season ending on Memorial Day. So I always feel strange talking about splits and everything like that, but you basically had Buxton for the truncated season last year, and he still was, it was probably the last month was one of the best months he's had offensively, and still is a solid all-around defensive player for the team. Are we gonna finally, at long last, see his great turning of the corner? Because he's only 27. I feel like he's been around this league for 15 years or something. He's only 27. I mean, if everything clicks, and we saw everything click in 2017, where he had a very good season. This is between his power, his speed, and his defense. Are we going to see the Buxton we've all been drooling to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you hope for is like peak BJ Upton back in the day with the Rays, guy who could really run, played good defense, could really hit. Maybe wasn't a crazy OPS guy because the on base wasn't there, and maybe they'll go through some slumps that would keep those numbers down. But the physical tools are there for, honestly, one of the best players in baseball. I think it's the time for Buxton to put it all together, because he's a year from free agency. So he's it's a good time to work on an extension for a year from now, because he'll be a free agent after 2022. So yeah, and it's time for him to put it together. He looks like he's healthy. He looks like he's strong. Seen a lot of outfielders of his ilk, toolsiness, taking a while to come into their own. Torrey Hunter back in the late 90s was one, and they had Aaron Hicks and they had Carlos Gomez, who both had to leave the Twins to become the versions of themselves that got bigger contracts. So the Twins are not going to make that mistake again. And so if Buxton gets away, it'll be when he's 29 and hasn't come full circle. But with that said, I feel like this year it kind of all comes together for him. He didn't walk much last year, but he was absolutely crushing everything. In a small sample size, you're going to have weird numbers when it comes to walks or not stealing bases. And again, too, if he's not walking and he's hitting a lot of extra base hits, he's just not going to steal that many bases. Right. So I think over the course of a full season, there is a lot of potential for this to be an MVP candidate, certainly a stealth one or a sleeper one or a dark horse. He's not going to be one of the first five guys you mentioned in that conversation. But from a skill set standpoint, from an opportunity standpoint, there's definitely potential for him to be in that mix come October if all the stars align for him.
Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to get all your sports action. You know, football's over, but NBA, Major League Baseball, college basketball, hockey, they're all games are going to be on soon. They're going to be in full swing. And Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality shows. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. Fantasy baseball addicts, you now have a new resource to help give you an advantage in your league. Locked On Fantasy Baseball is a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, DFS, Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And now, back to Locked On MLB.
You said earlier that some of the moves the Twins made were not some of the sexiest nor the biggest sort of headline-grabbing moves that they made. Well, last year they made a trade that people noticed, but it hardly was seismic, was basically trading Gratterall to Los Angeles for Kenta Maeda. And Kenta Maeda had an outstanding season for the Twins. I mean, his Cy Young runner-up last year. And, I mean, granted, nobody was going to beat Bieber for the Cy Young Award last year because he was heads and shoulders the best pitcher. But Kenta Maeda was spectacular last year and is kind of an anchor you could have on a starting staff for a defending league division champion with images of advancing in the playoffs dancing in their heads.
Yeah. I mean, he's got playoff success with the Dodgers as a reliever. And that was kind of the reason he didn't want to be there anymore was he wanted that chance to make the start, throw the five or six innings rather than the middle relief innings. But yeah, it's easy to see why that wasn't the big reason that trade gets talked about, because obviously Mookie Betts getting traded from Boston to LA, both in terms of the value of the player, and also people just talk more about the Red Sox and the Dodgers than they'll ever talk about the Twins. And that's fine. We kind of have grown accustomed to that. But the Twins fans were kind of upset because they see Gratterall coming up throwing 100 miles an hour with a sinker. And it's been a long time since the Twins have had a guy who could throw that hard as a reliever, that exciting, maybe ever, because this has been an organization that has traditionally been on the more conservative side of pitching with guys who get ground balls and don't walk anybody. So Twins fans have been hearing about Bruce Gratterall for like 4 years. And all of a sudden you trade him for a guy who apparently isn't even good enough to start for the Dodgers. What's going on there? And it turned out very, very well. Obviously, like you said, Maeda runner-up in the Cy Young balloting. It just was kind of a perfect storm for him where he wasn't forced to show he could go six innings a game 30 times in a full season. So the hope is that now that they are basically tripling the size of the regular season, that he can just kind of continue that upward trajectory to where he can throw 170, 180 innings and still be a Cy Young candidate. I'm not saying I would ever bet against him or anything, but I also think it's fair to wonder how he'll adjust with that jump. It's going to be worth watching. But for an anchor to a division-winning rotation, you can definitely do worse than Maeda with Barrios. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I just think the Twins, again, the in conclusion, Your Honor, One of the things I just find when I'm looking at the depth chart on the team is that there's, for at least from my eyes, they don't have an absolutely glaring Achilles heel weakness on the team. I don't think they have the best rotation. I don't think they have the best bullpen. I don't think they have the best lineup. I don't think they have the best offense. I don't think they have the best defense, but they're good at all of that. And I think that if, and I think that there are some teams that you look at who have been big, strong contenders of the last few years who may have feet of clay. The New York Yankees are a team that are, a lot of people are picking them to win the East, be big contenders, and I think that's a safe pick, but they have four starting pitchers who combined for one inning last year. You have the Houston Astros are a year older, and they did not look good last year. They only made the postseason because of the extended postseason, and if the Angels or Mariners had risen to the apex of 500 baseball, then the Astros would have been on the outside looking in. And teams like the Blue Jays and the Rays and the Indians all have strengths, but it doesn't take a great feat of imagination to see them taking a step back. I think the Minnesota Twins are going to win in the 90 wins category. And I think they are a playoff team. There have been wonderful Twins teams that didn't advance. I mean, look at the 2006 team that was filled with MVPs and Cy Young winners and Nathan slamming the door, and they wound up getting swept by Oakland. So that team, if they had beaten Oakland, I think they would have won the World Series that year with all the talent that they had. So I think that eventually, like it did for Washington, like it did for LA last year, eventually things will line up for this franchise and they'll have the October that everyone's waiting for. And who knows, it could be this year. Then again, the bar to reach is win a single game. So I guess that's I guess that's the Everest that I'm thinking of for Minnesota. I don't mean to be a jerk about it.
Well, I mean, they are possibly the most well-built team in the AL. Like you said, you're not going to pick them as the best at any one aspect of the game in the American League, but they're balanced. They're strong. They're going to be competitive. They're going to hold their own against the East, the West, the Central, because they're going to have to play everybody this year. It's going to be fun to kind of see it all open back up again. And hopefully as things get healthier in the country with fans too, and just start feel like we're watching real baseball again. And I think Twins fans are going to be pretty excited to get to go back out there for a team that hopefully can scratch a couple wins in that playoff win column, if not a series or two.
That's great. Well, look at man, tell people where they can find you and follow you.
So at @Brandon_WARNE on Twitter, accesstwins.substack.com. Just drop your email. Everything that I publish sent to your email the second I hit send. You can donate money if you wish via Venmo, PayPal, or a subscription, but it is by no means required, just very much appreciated. But yeah, accesstwins.substack.com.
All right. Well, hey, you can follow us on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and all the places where you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, talking about the Twins and reasons why we should be hopeful for them. With Brandon Warren, this is Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.